Checklist.io. Hello everyone, welcome to the latest episode of Eaters of Fresh Lettuce. I am your co-host Rachel.
And I'm Delia.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about the dangers of putting your kids first in a relationship. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done so already, be sure to follow us across all social media platforms at YDFL Podcast. You can also check us out on your favorite podcast platforms, including
Alexa, Spotify, YouTube, iHeart, Pandora, you name it. So anywhere, any podcast platforms that have podcasts, we will be there. But we are definitely trying to grow our YouTube following.
Yes.
So if you're not following us on YouTube, go ahead and go over and
sharing
click,
is caring.
Share, care, you know, share with three friends, like, subscribe, comment. And we love the back and forth dialogue.
Oh my gosh, that's our favorite. So you can go to YouTube if you want to chime in on these topics that we talk about. Head to YouTube to do it. It'll boost the algorithm and it'll get our attention.
And we do a lot of motions with our face and our hands. And we're always talking. We're very passionate. So you'd be able to see that if you go on our YouTube.
And check the outfits.
And check the fits.
Those of you who are listening in over 25, 28 countries, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to let us know if you can where you're listening from. Let us
know.
Let
us know.
You deserve fresh lettuce.
Yes.
All right, guys, let's get into it. So the dangers of putting the kids first. First and foremost, let's talk about the obvious one.
Yeah.
Having the kids sleep
in
the bed.
Oh my gosh. That is a conversation that I have with just about anyone that is married, that have kids. It's like, yeah, well, it's just easier for me. Or I'm nursing. I get it. Like when they're really, really young and the mom's nursing them, it might be a little bit more comfortable to have the baby there. But I mean, after the kid is 3 to 5 to 6 years old, like, there's no reason why the child should be there. And, like, how do you freely just, like, do your thing when the kid is in the bed? Like, that's the thing that is always trippy to me. It almost feels a little bit, like,
inappropriate.
But, like, on another level of inappropriateness. I don't know how to explain it.
Was it Anna Nicole Smith who had posted a picture of herself naked with the baby? Oh, no, it was Coco. Ice-T's wife, Coco, right? She posted a picture of herself naked in the bed.
Okay.
And the little baby girl was right there. And she was like this. And everyone's all,
that's
if you're naked in the bed, why do you have a baby there?
Yeah.
So if you're over there just being like getting your groove on in the bed, you know, you're like rocking the baby to sleep. It's
just a little awkward. I think that's a little bit weird. And then there's also the people that put the kids first, like, you know, they can't go to the store because the baby has a routine of going to sleep at a certain time, or they can't do this because then the kids, like, are a certain age and they can't go to anybody's house because they're used to certain things. And it's like, it's this whole thing, by the way, that I've noticed. And I'm like, am I just a very free parent, or are they just very protective parents? Because, like, that's the question, right? Sometimes you never know.
So I will say on that particular point, I'm a Gen Xer, and the Gen Xers have something very much in common, and that is that we were latchkey kids. There was not a lot of supervision.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of tenderness and nurturing and coddling. If you fell, it was walk it off. If you do that, you know what I mean? It's like, suck it up.
You're going to cry. It's like, I'm going to give you a reason to cry.
Yeah, a reason to cry. And so there was a lot of that disconnection between the parent and the child. So a lot of these parents, including myself, then we became overprotectors and over-nurturers because I'll say an overprotected mother was an underprotected daughter. And they're finding this correlation. It's taken all these years, right? I'm 47 years old. And when I see these statistics, I'm like, oh, this is accurate. This is accurate. I know a lot of Gen Xers or latchkey kids. And so I guess my point is then we become parents, right? And then we're the parents that are overdoing it.
Have you heard of the terminology or the term called helicopter mom?
Yes.
Have you heard of that?
Yes.
And that was a new term that I had never heard of. And then, you know, there was a friend of mine that explained to me what a helicopter mom was. And let me tell you, she held that freaking title proudly. And she's like, I am a helicopter mom. I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a this, I'm a that. Long story longer, in my opinion, I feel like her kids, and I'm obviously not a doctor, I'm not trying to diagnose them, and she's an amazing person, but I almost feel like her kids have Asperger's, because, like, I know, and it's messed up that I'm saying that, but it's just like they're almost awkward in certain environments of people because they don't know how to socialize, because she's been so
she's
on top
doing it all
of
for them.
Just everything from, like, you know, doing, you know, the daughter's hair to, like, being on top of, like, what he's doing, what she's doing, and on the phone and making sure that the conversations are to her liking. And,
wow.
And so I feel like for me, you know, anyone that knows me, like, I've always been the type of person that's like, listen, they got to learn. My job and duty in this lifetime is not only just to be their parent and guide them, but is to make them independent. And I don't mean to be like, you know, I'm independent, hear me roar. I mean, like, do for yourself.
It's like I always say too, there's a fine line between preparing and protecting. And as a parent, you have to do both. You have to prepare and protect. And there's a whole slew of you, okay, who are just protecting to a fault, where you're not preparing them for real world, for
right.
real life.
Right.
And so in a marriage, by the way, if you want to see what that looks like, you put all the things of the kid first before your marriage. Even the Bible says not to do that. Like,
right.
at the end of the day, you know, first came you and your husband.
Partner.
Adam and Eve were first, right? You
yes.
are Adam and Eve in your house. And, like, then together there's an alliance to, like, raise and provide and protect for these children.
Right.
And prepare these children. And so I think that what ends up happening, and, of course, we have single moms that listen to the show as well.
Right.
But for those of you in relationships, you have to remember – there is a lot of husbands out there. We have a wonderful man named Rudy A. Official from TikTok who
yes.
watches our show,
yes.
and he's had us on his show, and he says it. He got to see his wife kind of become like a mother in his eyes because she was so into whatever he was talking about, the kids or whatever it was. I can't remember if he has kids.
Yeah.
I think he does,
No,
right?
he does. I believe he has two. He might have two, maybe.
And
yeah,
he was
and I
saying
he's
that
on,
he
like, his third baby now.
Yeah, that he lost attraction for her. And remember, it was like, it blew up. Like,
yeah.
it went viral, and it really played
it was
against
pretty,
him.
Pretty bad,
because
yeah.
he was being so honest about that
his
whole
feelings.
Thing. About
yeah.
his feelings about it. And so, look, at the end of the day, women, we know it's hard. We know it's not easy to, like, walk the dog and pet the husband and feed the kids. We understand.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, first and foremost, you are this person's wife, and this person is your husband, and you guys have a marriage first and foremost, and then from there, it's the kids, right?
Yeah.
Even as a single mom, we talk about this a lot as
yeah.
single moms, because
yeah.
there's women leaving their kids behind to go be someone's girlfriend before someone's mother.
Right.
And it's a controversy.
And so,
of like,
I mean, I think it's like anything, right? Anything that you do in life, like, everything has to have some type of balance. Like, you can't just up and leave to Europe for like a month and then come back and then take off again and then want to be super mom because, you know, well, I'm living my best life and he's
yeah.
got to figure it out. She's got to figure it out. Like, they're old enough to fend for themselves. And yeah, you might have a great support system, which a lot of people do have, you
yeah.
know, brother, sister, cousin, mom, you know, grandmother, whatever, and that's great. But I think there's also, you know, you have to also find the time that your kids need to know that you are mom too, and that you're going to be there for them, and you're not
yes.
just going to take off just whenever. But it's understanding, like, that what does that balance look like, right? Because
yes.
I've known of women that, like, literally just have up and left, like, their three kids,
I
and they're
know.
young, and then now they're living with the guy, and they're okay with not seeing the kid as often because maybe the guy, obviously, it's not just you. The guy has to assume the entire package, which
yeah.
are your children. And so sometimes the guys like the idea of your kids, but they just like you. They don't really want to take
yeah.
on the responsibility of three kids.
They're not applying for the job.
They're not applying for the job of the three kids that are under 18. Because it's different when you're dating someone that has kids and they're adult
yes.
kids versus someone that has kids that are like, you know,
little
under 10
ones.
Years old. Because, you know, kids under 10 years old, they're still little.
Yeah.
You know, they still need a lot of attention. So, you know, I think that you have to find that balance.
And it is. And we're in a very modern time where there's, like, a lot of stepdad situations going
right.
on and stuff like that. So this conversation, technically speaking, is more for people who are currently married to the father of their children.
Right.
Which is a very rare, a shrinking percentage. But, you know, even when it comes to yourself, ladies, as a single mom, there needs to be balance. I know for myself, I struggled very much so with guilt after my divorce, where I thought to myself, oh my gosh, my sons experienced this massive disruption. One was in junior high, one was in high school. It felt very disruptive with the divorce and the way it was
oh, yeah.
playing out. And I thought, and then at the same time, almost right away, I was entering this, like, relationship that I wasn't telling anybody really about.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was that person was successful. So what did he want to do as a person
off.
Dated? You want to take off? Let's go to Palm Springs. Let's go do this. And I in my mind, I was like, how can I then tell my sons, all right, here's the food, whatever. You guys are old enough. Okay, take care, when now it feels like, oh, we lost our dad in the house and our mom now to this other guy. And I'm sharing this story to say, it doesn't mean what I did was right or wrong. Yeah. I actually chose my children over being someone's girlfriend.
Yeah.
But that comes at a price. It comes at a big price. And so there is this thing where you have to find balance.
Yeah. Like, I know for me, you know, with the story that you're saying and telling, I know that for sure, like, there was moments where I questioned certain trips, you know, like I took off to Europe with girlfriends. And I remember I was like, I can't because I'm going to, and my mom was, you know, if you have that support system, then I mean, don't go so balls to the wall. But my mom's like, absolutely not. You're going to take that trip. You're going to go. You're going to live life because you only get these moments every once in a while. So I was very fortunate that I knew that my kids would be in the most amazing hands because my kids felt like my mom is like their second mom. So I'm like, I know that they're good. And then I felt guilt, not as guilty. I still felt guilty, but not as guilty. So I think it just depends on
the support system
that you've got going on. Now, you don't obviously want to be like, well, mom, guess what? Now I'm going to Thailand, Japan, and here's the babies. Yeah. Here's some cash money, and tell them how to hold a fork and a knife. Like, you know, there's a balance. It's like what we're talking about, not to one extreme or not to the other extreme.
You know, and I think that if you, again, if you're in a relationship, if you're married to the father of your children or whatever the situation is, or maybe you married the stepdad, you know, and he's a wonderful man and very supportive. But everything is like, let's go to that. You're married to the guy that's now the stepdad to your children, or maybe one of your children or two of your children. Let me tell you what's another thing that we see that happens is all of the sudden, your kid that you have from the previous relationship, you're telling that kid, don't act like that. Don't do that. You know what upsets him. Blah, 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 blah. Everything, it's like it has to be a reflection of you, and then you don't want to upset your new guy, your new husband.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen where the kid from the previous relationship is now getting treated almost like
a redheaded stepchild
by the mom
or
the parent that should, because they don't want to upset the person that they're with. It's a really, I wish I had a better way to formulate that.
Think about that too, though. I think, like, if you are dating someone and then you have a kid that doesn't really like or respect the person that you're now with, I mean, you have to really take into consideration that the guy might just be like, you're cool. I like you as a female, as a woman. I like everything about you, but man, your kid's shitty.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you know, I think, granted, I don't think I would choose my child over a man, obviously, but you know, you have more control over telling your kid, act right, like, stop acting this way. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, most kids will tell you why it is that they're acting a certain way. Maybe they feel like you've nubbed them, you've kind of slighted them, they don't feel like they're part of the family. And if they feel that way, then they're gonna act that way too. I've also, by the way, speaking of step parents, I've also heard of the way that you discipline your children. Like, say there's a guy that doesn't have kids, and, you know, maybe the girl's a little bit more lenient, and maybe, you know, his upbringing that was that he was a little, his parents were maybe a little bit more aggressive, so now he feels that she should be more aggressive to her kids and maybe smack them and maybe hit them, maybe ground them, maybe this, maybe that. And so maybe their perspectives and their ways of possibly raising a child is not aligning, and that could be a problem. And here's the thing, when I say that, is that you don't know what he would be like, because he's maybe not a dad, and so he has no idea what that really looks like until you have children and you understand that every child and every human being has a different personality. And it's like, you may not be able to use, you know, where you are going to tell him what to do with words or even hit him. Like, you know, you have different ways of disciplining.
There's the different personalities, and then there's just what kids do, especially teenagers. They find your last nerve, and they know exactly how to stomp
and how
all over that.
Poke it.
And especially if you bring a man into the home as your now new partner that's living with you or whatever the situation is, or you're married to this man, there has to be a level of figuring out the authority like you're discussing.
Yeah.
Because if you tell your step-parent they have zero authority, that kid knows that. That kid knows that person has no authority.
He's going to run amok on you.
Oh, it's going to be rough. So, I've never had a stepdad situation. I didn't live with a stepdad. I didn't bring one into my home. And so I can't speak too much on it, but I do see it a lot around me. And there is a big, big sort of hiccup between the new guy who's paying all the bills or owns the house or whatever had feeling like his hands are tied with this little person that's growing up now to a teenager that has no respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom, by the way, is willing to fight with the husband because you don't talk to my son like that or you don't do that to blah, blah, blah. There's like this whole thing. And again, the alliance is broken in the name of the child.
Right.
Instead of like having a conversation with your partner and say, I know that he or she is putting you through it.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, what do you want to do? What do you think we should do? Like,
right.
I want to be aligned
He's
with
like,
you.
He's like, I want a divorce.
No, but you know what I mean? Because you're not giving him his respect.
Yeah, no, it's so true.
So you have to be able to say, how can we
fix this?
And he could say, let's sit down together and talk to him and set the rules.
To see what's up.
And set the guidelines or whatever. And be aligned instead of like, well, yeah, you married my mom, but you're not my dad or whatever. You know?
And I think that the kids are going to use that card whenever it's beneficial to them. And I always say this.
Yeah.
It's like, it's whenever it's beneficial. I'm sure if the dad bought you a brand new car, you wouldn't say, you're not my dad. You'd be like, oh my gosh, my stepdaddy.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be all about that. But I think as long as you're being protective, you know, because I think that you can kind of gauge whether or not someone's like physically, emotionally abusing your children. I think that as long as you're being protective and aware, because sometimes, you know, when you're bringing people into your sphere, into your life, like, you know, they always say the devil doesn't sleep. And like, for me, I have little girls. And so I've always been very protective and mindful of who I bring into my
yes.
world. And I'll be damned if I leave my kids alone with
whoever.
Yeah. Especially when they were younger. Now, granted, they're almost adults, so it's a little bit maybe easier. But, you know, you still have to be protective and still kind of check in on the kid. Like, hey, how's it going? And how's this? Because you just never know what people's motives are at the end of the day.
But if you are a young woman watching this show and you're newly married and you're having your baby and all that, that baby is going to be your world. Not all moms are the same, though. Some moms don't care as much. But if you're one of those moms that you're like, my baby is my world,
right?
Just remember, you're a wife first and foremost. And that might sound very like ancient thinking.
Yeah.
But together, you guys are both parents. And it's like together, you guys are loving this child, but first and foremost, nurture the love between you and your spouse. And that way, that kid has a better chance at growing up in a home with
both parents
that get along
home.
And communicate and stuff like that. And there's going to be some support things that you need. But if your husband says, honey, get dressed up, I want to take you away from the weekend. And you're like,
But the baby,
I've never gone away from the baby. Like, you need to learn how to go ahead and leave the baby at grandma's or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you have someone that, you know, is a support system, whether that's maybe someone that you've hired that you know that you trust
or
travel with you, I think that you need to give yourself that time, because I think that a lot of the time, you know, for as long as the kid is alive, like, I don't know, the first, I would say, 12, 13 years are the most important years. They're all important, but I'm just saying, like, you literally will put yourself on a shelf for that long if you don't give yourself the time to date your husband, to go on the vacation, to get ready, to do the things, go get your hair done, go get your nails done. Don't feel guilty because you're now a mom and you have to go into mom mode. And it's a famous thing that we always talk about where the women have a kid, they'll have a kid and all of a sudden they want to chop their hair off and not do their nails and not do this. And if these are the things that bring you joy, believe me, you are going to do a disservice if you don't take care of yourself, because the kids are going to see that you're not happy. Your husband's going to see that you're not happy. If you look good, you feel good, then you have to do that. If the gym is something that you look forward to, go to the gym. You know, find that little schedule to, you know, get yourself, you know, active and take that time for yourself, because
it's the oxygen mask, right?
On the airplane, mm-hmm. you have to make sure that you put it on first before you help others, which are your kids.
Absolutely. And you're so right. I see TikTok videos, too, of women that are, like, disheveled in their car, and the baby's crying, and they're sitting there saying, I just, you know, I can't be the girl that he dated. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Like, you absolutely can. There's no reason why you can't wake up in the morning and start with you, even if you have to feed the baby at 5 in the morning. It's okay. Do your hair. Do, like Delia's saying, you can take an hour for yourself. The baby might be right there watching the little tablet or whatever you do now and drinking a bottle. Like, there is a way to, you get multitask, right? And things like that. But there is a way to do things
or
to
make
yourself feel good.
Or like the getting the nails done, right? Maybe your husband gets home kind of late. Well, then maybe you get that last appointment at the nail shop.
Yes.
And he has to stay with the baby for, you know, an hour and a half so you can have your me time. Maybe you need to go book a massage. Like, I think that a lot of the time we feel so guilty because we feel that we have to go into like complete utter mom mode without understanding that we're still human beings with feelings and that we still need to wake up and show up for ourselves, because you can't show up for someone else when you're not showing up for yourself first.
For sure.
So important.
I think one of the best things that I ever did after my divorce, right before I got divorced, towards like then the beginning of my divorce, was I sat my sons down. Again, we're talking 7th grade and like 9th grade or whatever it was.
High school,
grade,
junior high.
I sat them down. And I did this with my older one when he was in junior high. But right when they enter junior high, I have a conversation with them. And I introduce them to who I am as a woman. Uh-huh. And I do that at that age, which is around 13, because they are under this impression that I'm their mom. I'm their mommy, and I am, and I'm going to be forever, right?
Right.
But it is this whole thing, like, they've known me as mommy, and my entire existence revolves around them in their view, right?
Right.
Because everything I do is,
just
like,
mom.
For my mom, anything, oh, mom, I'm hungry, mom, this, mom, okay, there I am. By 13, and by the way, I speak a certain way in front of my kids, because everything I'm doing is leading by example.
Of course.
Up until about 13, okay? Yeah.
By the after time that, they, like,
no,
the real you
yeah,
comes
I'm
out,
like,
oh, you're here,
mom's on. By the time they turn about 12, 13, I actually took the time to have a conversation and introduce them to me.
Oh,
and how did I do
that?
I told them my high school stories.
Oh.
I told them my junior high stories. I told them, like, oh, I was nominated for, you know, homecoming, and this is what I did, or this boy broke my heart. Or I introduced them to me so that they can start to have a vision of me that's separate from wife, that's separate from mommy, so that as they get older, because as they get older, they see things about you that are not perfect.
Right.
And all of a sudden, that would, it was understandable. Uh-huh. So as they would see me maybe make mistakes or say certain things, or maybe I lost my temper, they would go, okay, mom, like, da da da. But they started seeing me as Rachel. I'm always going to be their mom. But as they got older, and guess what that did? It built trust with them. As they were going through challenges in their teenage years, they'd come to me as someone that they felt would understand.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and it was just something that came to me, like, they've been seeing me in this rose-colored bubble.
You know, because sometimes, like, kids, they don't really know, like, the parents' like first name, and it's like, who's that? And it's like, mommy. No, like, what's her name?
Yeah.
That's mommy. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't know that you are a human being with feelings, and before that little person, like, you had a whole life, and that whole life was a little bit more selfish. Why? Because you didn't have to worry about diaper bags, diaper this, or diaper rash cream, and, you know, all the things that you have to take care of. Or even if you're out of diaper bags, like, you still have to get into the mommy mode, and, like, the birthday party on the weekend, and this and that. And before that, you were maybe at the nightclub, you know, drinking Jack and Coke, and now you have to worry about, like, you know, the birthday party on a Saturday afternoon. And so, you know, it's this life balance, I think, that we talk about so much, and it's like always understanding that it's so important to have the me time and not put the kids first all the time, because at the end of the day, like, if you can't show up for yourself, you're never going to be able to show up with them for them fully. So take the time, get the nails done, get the hair done, you know, feel good about yourself, and know that no matter what, I'm sure you're still shining, you're still a brilliant, great mother, you know?
And remember, your role as a mother is never over, you know, you're always
never,
a mom, so
never,
you
never
need to, just like if you had an amazing career, I'm a career woman, I'm kind of low-key a workaholic, and even today we're having a conversation about that with another woman who's becoming a workaholic, and it's all about balance, and one thing, if you're, and I think it's Shonda Rhimes that says, if you see me excelling in one area of my life, guaranteed I'm failing in another area of my life. So you have to sit there and create that balance for yourself and know the kids are going to be okay. They're going to be okay. They don't need you 24/7, by the way.
Yeah.
You've taught them right from wrong.
Right.
You know they're going to make mistakes. Now you got to be the person to catch them sometimes. It's not about preventing them from falling. It's about being available and there for them when they, you know,
when they fall. Yeah, you catch them or you help
know,
them get
when
up.
When they fall, you help them get up and everything. And I forget his name is Patterson. Oh, I can't think of his name. A wonderful man.
Peter.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
oh my God. He's so brilliant.
Man.
And
yes,
so he says, allow children to do dangerous things carefully. And so at the end of the day, you know, I always say, you know, my parents were probably not as worried about me or worried about me. But if they just looked at, I might have said a whole world of things, but I was doing like leadership stuff in school and, you know, and I was making mistakes too. But at the end of the day, it's part of my journey. So they weren't really trying to like stop me from making mistakes. It was more like, well, you made your bed, now lie in it. So I understood that if I made a bad choice, I was going to pay the price. But what I'm getting at is like too often I'm seeing parents fight their children's battles or showing up at the school saying, your kid did this to my kid. Are you kidding?
I think at the end of the day, like you'll also hear the parents that will even like the online bullying, like the parents will like make a fake account and bully the kid and they're like taking this personally. But you know,
but teach your kid how to defend themselves. Teach your kid how to navigate life. Teach your kid that this is how ugly the world is and that they don't have to lower themselves to it. It's teaching your kid how to cope and manage and navigate. And in your marriage, by the way, not fighting with your husband because he said whatever, whatever to your kid. Like, no, come into alliance. Understand, okay?
And behind closed doors, I think more importantly, like, if there's something that you guys are disagreeing on, I think it's really important to not have the kids understand the weak points or the power points.
Kids are
it's
very
like,
manipulative.
Yes, and they're like, oh, that's what triggers him. Oh, I'm going to do that more. And especially if you're like stepdad, then they're going to trigger you. And if you're stepmom, they're going to trigger you. So I think it's just everything is a conversation. You're a conversation away from anything.
Yes.
Literally, just a conversation, an open mind, and a conversation from anything. And understanding like, okay, maybe I should not, you know, taking that to heart. But you know, what we're trying to say here is put yourself first. Put the oxygen mask first.
Put the mask on first.
And then assess the entire situation.
I'm going to give one more example before we go because I know that we're like, so here's a little tidbit that I learned from my grandparents, which actually helped in my marriage, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
So take it with a grain of salt. You do what you do with it. But for example, grounding. My ex-husband stayed grounding my sons. Like,
right.
You did this or you're grounded. And it was like odd. It was like a reflex. Like, blah, blah, you're grounded. And then me, because I'm trying to be like this, like, united team, I then was upholding the punishment. So my ex was already, my husband was like, at work. He already forgot that he grounded the kid. And then my kids over here, Mom, can I go play soccer? I'm like, yeah, but your dad, you know, your dad said he grounded you. Like, oh. And then I'm upholding the punishment. He stayed throwing punishments out, and I stayed trying to, like, uphold the punishment. So eventually, I had to get to a place, ladies, where if you have a husband like this, by the way, because it's just easier to punish him and send him to his room, you're punished for a month. It was like these long sentences, by the way. I finally had to get to a place where I said, next, in closed doors, next time you ground him or, like, whatever you take away from him, you're going to manage that. I'm not.
Right.
So that means you got to uphold it. I'm not going to sweat this
mess. Well, I think, you know what could have been better, though, since you're saying that it was really hard for you to uphold, or you would be the
I
upholder.
I had to be the one upholding
it. So he would be the judge, and you'd be the cop.
Yeah.
You know, so I think what could have been better, and I'm just saying, like, just for the people listening,
ideas,
right, just an idea, is, like, actually, before you decide to ground him, you and I need to have a conversation, and then you and I need to go into Timmy's room and say, hey, Timmy, you're grounded for a week because your punk little butt did this, that, or the other, and then now you guys are coming in as a team rather than now you being freaking, you know, the cop, and he's just, the, you know, the guy in the judge, just like, you know, rings the bells like, okay, this is what we're doing. So I think that
it's
that could
so
be something
true.
To consider.
That would be
rather than, you know.
Because mine was very reactive and in the moment, and there was no like, hey, let's go talk about her. That man was not, there
like,
was
he's
no
like, oh,
conversation.
What is that?
He was like all just warm,
it's like all gas.
But
no
I
break.
Love that. But I love that.
Yeah, that would be a great way to maybe like, I don't
unity,
know, we're
guys,
it out there.
Unite. It's
unite.
All about solidarity
yes.
and unity. Because these kids can be manipulative. Let's
Man,
see,
I'm telling you, they can be. So,
all right.
Anyway, so take that moment. Remember, put the gas mask on first, and you deserve fresh lettuce.
And lock your bedroom door when it's sexy time. Cheers.
Yes, cheers.